The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Monday, December 28th, Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Stefania Bell, and Kyle Soppe hanging out with you on this Monday. Kyle doing a great job filling in for Daniel Dopp. And
do you think he's filling in, or do you think thirsty Kyle did something nefarious to Daniel to get more screen time, more air time? Because he's got the baby face.
Right, yep.
And the people Sherry with the Daniel. Baby face... Actually, I should ask Stefania this because you also have a baby face. Stefania, I feel like people with baby faces are sometimes not to be trusted because you know, they can get away with murder, as it were.
Oh.
Would you ever not trust me?
No, well, it's true. It's,
ask yourself that question.
Yeah, no, I do trust you, Stefania.
I appreciate you saying I have a youthful baby face, though.
I do not have a baby face. No, I have an old man face. I have a very old man face. I have like
a baby face. Like, Kyle has the babiest face.
You know how sometimes when a baby is just born and he's all wrinkly and they're like, look, he looks like an old man. Hee hee, so cute. That's the kind of baby face I have.
So you technically have a baby face.
Technically, I guess I do have a baby face.
Technical over here.
Honestly, I've been getting away with murder for my entire career. So there you go. Fair enough.
The set is falling apart.
Okay.
All this talk of babyface has everybody rattled here. It's not quite over in your first round of the fantasy finals, or potentially your only round of the fantasy finals. But it also may have been over as soon as it began on Friday, as we get right into the best of week one, or again, the only week of your championship finals, week 16. And that is where we start today on the show. Alvin Kamara is our good news of the day. Geico good news, that is, more specifically. And it was remarkable. By now, you're sort of like, wait, that was this week? It was this week. Alvin Kamara, who on Christmas Day brought you a miracle. 155 yards, not one, not two, not three, but six rushing touchdowns, plus three catches for 17 yards to give him 56.2 fantasy points, a day for the ages.
Little frustrated by his lack of usage in the passing game,
and
he got vultured by Taysom Hill. What's going on there? Yeah. So you could nitpick a little bit. No, in all seriousness, can we take a wide shot? Matt Harrington, can you take a wide shot here? I just want to... Alvin Kamara, standing O. A standing ovation.
Okay, we get it.
Not only an amazing performance, but literally the best performance by a running back in week 16 in NFL history. Week 16 is obviously always the fantasy championship week, whether it's the first week of a two-week playoff or the end of your season field, as you mentioned. And no running back in NFL history has ever been better than Alvin Kamara was yesterday. In week 16.
It was unbelievable. It was remarkable. There's not much more to say other than if you have him on your roster, the odds are you are going to win your championship. If you are facing Alvin Kamara, then you most likely have a very, very steep mountain to climb. But there were avenues to overcome the Alvin Kamara six touchdown day. One of them was Davante Adams, who actually is a very likely player to be playing on championship rosters, as he's been great all season. And he was just remarkable again last night. 11 catches, 142 yards, and three touchdowns. It's his third game over 40 points this year, Matthew. And thinking about if we were to redo a mock draft right now, knowing what we know about the season, I think there is a case, at least a case, for Davante Adams to go first overall. I know he missed a couple of games, and I understand that, you know,
there's
running backs
now,
have more value.
Question. Is the mock draft for this season we just played or next year?
Right, for this season we just played.
For this season we just played, yeah, I mean, I think if we were to really, yes, I mean, I think
Travis
Adams,
Kelsey, Dalvin
Adams,
Cook,
Kamara, Adams. Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry.
Henry might be there. Kelsey, I just mentioned would be.
Kelsey.
I think
that's your top five in some order.
We'll hand out some postseason hardware at some point. But yeah, Davante Adams, remarkable again,
amazing.
Matthew. He's got 20 touchdowns in his last 16 games played. Like, the guy just lives in the end zone. He was incredible. Think about that season that Randy Moss had back in 2007. I would say the greatest single season by a wide receiver, at least of my lifetime and maybe of all time. Jerry Rice had some absolute barn burners as well.
Yep.
13 games played for Davante Adams so far. Randy played all 16 that year, had 23 touchdowns. Davante is going to be playing at most 14 games this year. But through 13 games played, Davante Adams, 19.4 more fantasy points than Randy Moss had during that incredible 2007 season.
It's unbelievable. No, obviously, it's easier to pass these days than when Randy did. The defensive rules are, you know, limiting. But make no mistake, Davante Adams is special, man. Like, he is really, really special. You know, Aaron Rodgers last night talking about the fact that he thinks, you know, Davante Adams might be the most talented player he's ever played with in his NFL career. We talked about in the preseason, like, listen, I'm not sitting here saying, like, hey, good call. We called a good year for Davante Adams. Like, whatever. I mean, he was always going to be. But, like, we talked about the fact that within his range of outcomes was not only number one wide receiver in fantasy, but leading the NFL in targets. We talked about the fact that we thought there was going to be a massive amount of target share. And he's been helped by a couple of things. Number one is just great play. But also give credit where credit is due. Aaron Rodgers has been dialed in and played absolutely phenomenal. After a lot of people, and I will raise my hand, including me, wrote him off as a fantasy asset this year. Rodgers had had two down years as a fantasy quarterback going into this season. They didn't draft anyone. Didn't seem like they had a lot of confidence in their pass catchers outside of Adams. You know, and so I was nervous about Rodgers. And by the way, like, obviously, a bad, bad call. Probably my worst call of the offseason, honestly, was fading Rodgers coming into the year, because he's been nothing short of terrific. And by the way, he's, you know, and Adams has been one of the beneficiaries.
So a couple things here. By the way, one of the things about Davante Adams that I love is the Packers run, and I have to look up the specific number. This is just sort of off memory and anecdotally. They love to run from inside the 5-yard line or 10-yard line. Those little tear screens, rip screens, are just... Yeah. Rodgers takes the ball, whether it's shotgun or under center, looks left, looks right, zips to Davante Adams. He makes a play ball, makes one defender miss. Next thing you know, a touchdown. They're almost like an extension of the running games. That certainly helps. Second of all, Matthew, come on, man. Like, go find all the fantasy analysts that were sitting there before the season saying, like, monster year ahead for Aaron Rodgers. Like,
very few. Obviously, he was a popular fade within the fantasy industry, but
you are allowed. But you're allowed to be accountable, and I respect that. I'm just saying, like, you know, there are some calls that we all wish we had back.
Yeah.
From the fantasy preseason, no doubt about it. But Aaron Rodgers is not one of those that I'm losing sleep over at night. Mike Evans was great as well. This is a Saturday game, and this is what I love. Bruce Arians wants Mike Evans to get 1,000 receiving yards, and he wants it desperately. For those that are unfamiliar, Mike Evans has a chance to be the first player in NFL history with at least 1,000 receiving yards in his first 7 seasons. He's currently tied with Randy Moss. Again, we're talking about Randy Moss because the dude is a legend.
Right.
He's close now. And he almost got there on Saturday with 10 catches for 181 yards, 2 touchdowns, Matthew. It has not been nearly as, I would say, sort of top to bottom enjoyable for Mike Evans this year from fantasy. He has been touchdown dependent. He still needs some work in week 17 to get to 1,000 receiving yards. But man alive, those touchdowns have been really, really solid again this year.
I wish Daniel were here today right now because I would ask him this question.
Okay.
Because I was
coming.
I was. You can answer for Daniel.
Okay.
I was in 5 semifinals last week. I was in 5 different semifinals.
Yeah.
Okay. And in 3 of them, I played against DeAndre Swift. And I lost. Those are the 3 that I lost.
Yeah.
I lost by 0.6, by 1.9, and 9.4. And all 3 of them I played DeAndre Swift, who obviously had a monster game 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. This week, so I was advanced to 2 different finals.
Yeah.
And in both those finals, I'm facing Mike Evans. So my question is that, and of course DeAndre Swift does nothing the week I'm not facing him.
Right.
So my question is just, why do the Detroit Lions hate me personally?
I thought you were ask
because
the
they
Lions,
don't
the Bengals now.
Yeah, I mean, like, they and they might you. Be the Bengals. Like, I just like whether it was like I just got I got boned by the Lions 2 straight weeks. To your point about Cincinnati, like, it's unbelievable. Like, I don't think they even tried to guard Mike Evans. Have you seen? You've probably seen, like, it's not, I don't know if it's a meme. It's not a meme or a GIF because it's a little video, but like the security guard that as people are going by and he just sort of like rubs his hand sort of near the guy, come on in. You know, it's like it's a popular
that
video.
Was the Lions defense on Saturday?
Yeah, that was the Lions defense on Saturday. Just nice. Sort of like, all right, go ahead. In fairness to Detroit, they were down a number of coaches because of COVID-19.
Yeah.
You know, and they were down a number of coaches that were already on an interim basis, obviously, because Matt Patricia had been fired earlier in the year. They were down a number of starters as well. You know, a secondary that wasn't that good. Right. You know, I mean, like, a lot of things went wrong for Detroit on Saturday, but still, I'm like, oh my God, Detroit, I'm begging you, just guard this guy. Please. They couldn't.
They were not interested. And we're going to get to a bunch of injuries in just a moment here. But Stefania, we have heard several players that have come back from COVID-19 and talked about the adverse impact it's had on them. Lamar Jackson's been one of the more notable voices to speak out on this. Myles Garrett, same thing for the Cleveland Browns. Myles Gaskin did not seem to have any such issue in his first game back from COVID-19. Had a career day in terms of fantasy points with 33.9. He's the second best running back in fantasy so far this week. Look to me like a guy that's recovered quite nicely.
Yeah, he sure did. And I think this is, again, a reminder that this impacts everyone differently. We've said that over and over again. Some guys seem to have no after effects. Andy Dalton was somebody else who, you know, he had a concussion, kind of had the COVID-19 superimposed on his concussion recovery, but talked about feeling like he was in a bit of a fog and the decision-making was off. Myles Garrett, who you referenced, said he's still undergoing breathing treatments and that you can see it in his play that he's fatigued fairly quickly. So again, different impacts on everyone, and that's why we have to be careful not to assign direct timelines or assume that a player is going to look one way or another if he is someone who has tested positive for the virus and then returns. But Myles Gaskin, to your point, looked like Myles Gaskin before he disappeared.
Yeah, Myles Gaskin with a great day. Even if, like, not super high volume for Myles Gaskin, but he catches all five of his targets, his 82 yards and two touchdowns, one of which was 57 yards. Just a crazy, weaving, unlikely touchdown. So Matthew and I were talking about this yesterday on the show, actually before Fantasy Football Now. Like, would you rather lose a fantasy final by 1 point or 100 points? Matthew argued 100 points. I think I'd rather be in it all the way. But my counter question to Matthew was like, would you rather lose by 100 points or 200 points? Because I started off in my two finals against Alvin Kamara, which is great. Really fun to face Alvin in both of them. But day two of week 16 included Myles Gaskin.
Yeah.
And Jeff Wilson, by the way.
Right, yeah.
Great day for him.
Yep.
And Darren Waller for 17.2 points. Maybe 16.2.
My only question is, the person that put that up on you, is he or she available to co-host a podcast with me?
She could be here next week.
That'd be amazing. I mean, like, unbelievable.
That point was Myles Gaskin had a remarkable
game.
And worth noting, Savon Ahmed was the Dolphins running back early in that game.
Yep.
So, but you and I were texting on Saturday morning, I think it was, about Myles Gaskin. I said, I don't know, man. Like, it feels like it's going to be a split, but who knows?
And talking with, you know, and I spoke with Cameron Wolf, who covers the Dolphins for us, does a great job. And Cam was like, yeah, I think it's going to be hot hand. He goes, I'd lean Gaskin. It's a good call by Cam. He goes, I'd lean Gaskin, but I think it's going to be a hot hand. And that's what it was. Like, they started out with Ahmed. They sort of split series initially. But then it was just clear that, with all due respect to Savon Ahmed, who I like, by the way, Gaskin was the better player. And I tweeted this out, and I'm curious what you think. Like, Gaskin's going to be a fascinating player to talk about in the offseason.
Yeah.
Because, like, after that play that you talked about where he caught sort of a screen and he sort of weaved and they went in and then bounced outside and then ran down the sideline for the touchdown, I think I tweeted out, like, Myles Gaskin might be special, man, because that is a hell of a play. And, I think there's a chance Myles Gaskin is more than just a guy, more than just sort of, like, you know, the running back that has the job. Like, there was some vision and cuts there that I just thought, oh, hello. Oh, Myles Gaskin might be special.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, a long way to go.
Yes,
but,
of course. It was one play, but I'm just...
Point. It's a very interesting offseason discussion. Remember this past offseason when we were talking about some of us really, really ardent in our belief in Michael Gallup? Week 16,
I was
why?
I was all in on Michael Gallup this offseason.
Yesterday was sort of a reflection of why you were so confident. Yeah. He had 6 catches, 121 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was started in less than 12%
of course.
So not too many actually reaped the benefits. You know, Matthew, though, over the past 5 games, he actually leads Cowboys wide receivers and targets.
He got 38. Does.
Credit to Mike Clay for that note right there. So, good player. Talented player. The real question is there anything about that you believe to be repeatable in Week 17 other than, hey, like, because I write the waiver wire column, and I'm trying to keep it very straightforward this week. It's like, hey, if you're going to play these players, understand that there's sincere inherent risk. Like, Myles Gallup, something yesterday or nothing?
I think so. So, over his past 4 games, he's averaging 7.5 targets a game. He's got 4 touchdowns in his last 4 games. And then you think about Andy Dalton, who now has multiple touchdown passes in 4 straight games. Like, And I mean this, I don't mean this as an insult at all. Andy Dalton looked competent yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, look, Andy Dalton looked like, okay, that was sort of what we expected. When Dak Prescott went down, you and I, and I think a lot of other fantasy analysts were out there saying, like, hey, this is going to be fine. This is going to be like 80% of Dak Prescott. Do we think Andy Dalton is going to be Dak? No, but like, he's a professional quarterback. He's going to be able to run this offense. They still have a lot of very good skill players. Like the players that you care about, the Amaris, the Gallups, the CeeDee Lambs, you know, Zeke, they're going to be just fine. And then of course, you know, sort of the bottom fell out. But over the last couple of games, he's started to look like that Andy Dalton we were talking about. And so thinking about next week's game against the Giants, my expectation is James Bradbury would shadow Amari Cooper. So to answer your question, yeah, again, trust is a strong word, but I think Michael Gallup is usable next week? I do.
Let's get to the injury portion of the show. And Stefania, you're a 49ers fan, so you know this. I don't have to explain this to you. But part of what I love of this team is that they have 17 weeks to play the schedule, and they're going to give you all 17 weeks. Maybe it behooves them, in some people's minds, to lose games down the stretch and improve their draft status, right? Potentially add a difference maker on either side of the ball, maybe even a quarterback, as we know there are a lot of questions surrounding them. That's not what they do, though. They keep competing for 17 weeks, and that includes their star tight end, George Kittle, who, when many other stars would have said, I'm good, I got my money already, don't worry about that foot, just go back and relax, go, I don't know where you can travel to right now, but go somewhere and not play football for 2 weeks. George Kittle was out there on Saturday, as much as many of us thought it would not necessarily happen. And to me, even though it wasn't a full workload, he looked good.
He looked really good. George Kittle is a football player. You know, this guy is 100%. He's the one who, when he had this injury and the team was told it would be roughly an 8-week recovery, and Kyle Shanahan asked him about it, he said he'd be back in two. Now, clearly he wasn't back in two, but that just gives you an idea of where his mindset is. It's always, he's got a high motor. He's always itching to come back. And he's a team leader. And I think that's why it was important. You know, one of the things Kyle Shanahan said this week, people asked him, why not shut him down, protect him? Why put him out there when the team obviously isn't going to the playoffs? And, you know, Kyle Shanahan said it's important to the locker room. Everybody who's healthy can play. Why would I make the rules any different for anyone else? That coupled with the fact that George Kittle wanted to play, and you can see why. And I think to the point of the injury recovery, like the first play that he made, it was a short catch, but he made a quick cut out of it and then sprinted ahead. Like, there was no limitation as far as his foot. He looked good out there, and so you can expect him to play again in week 17.
Yeah, cool story. And obviously, in terms of tight ends, there are very few that you want more than George Kittle, Travis Kelce, Darren Waller, but of course the Chiefs may not have anything to play. Well, they don't have anything to play for in week 17. We'll talk about that more later on in the week. But 13.2 fantasy points for George Kittle. Good to see him back. James Robinson, Stefania, is on the doorstep of making some history in terms of undrafted rookies, but he did not play yesterday. However, is there a chance he could play in week 17?
It's interesting here because the way the Jaguars handled it, it certainly sounded like they were leaving the door open for him until very late in the week. I mean, even on Friday, it was like, well, we'll see what happens by Saturday. And then he was downgraded to out on Saturday, the day before the game. I'm hearing that this is possibly a high ankle sprain, and that sounds more ominous than what we knew before. And now I'm very concerned about the likelihood of James Robinson playing. We'll see, you know, at the early part of the week, the coaches haven't spoken yet, but I think there's a chance James Robinson is out.
Okay. It's interesting. And we'll see what Trevor Lawrence tells the team to do this upcoming Sunday, as the Jaguars have now clinched.
How soon do they name him head coach and general manager as well?
I think there's a press release. I saw a note.
Team president.
Yeah, president. Yeah. Is he the offensive coordinator, or does he just have to be the head coach and he can be the play caller?
I think he's head coach, play caller, somewhat like what Andy Reid used to do back in the day a little bit. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so I think it's a little bit of that. I will say this, officially petitioning the NFL to change their name to the Jacksonville Lawrences, I thought was a bit much.
Yeah, that's...
I thought that went a step too far.
A little bit of respect for the game needs to be shown.
I'm just saying.
Big day, though, in Jacksonville, obviously. We had Michael Durant.
I voted for the fight in Trevers.
That would have worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is great. I mean, I don't know. I think Jaguars fans, certainly feel free to tweet at us to let us know if you feel differently. There are some that believe yesterday was the most significant day in franchise history, which is great for a team that's been to three separate AFC championship games.
I was going
to
say, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. And I understand it's a young franchise relative to the rest of the NFL, but still, It's up there, at least.
It's certainly up there. I mean, I think I would argue...
I would argue going to the AFC Championship game.
The AFC Championship game where they lost to the Patriots and they got completely jobbed on the Miles Jack touchdown return. Yeah. That should have been called a touchdown, and I think that game's different. The Jags might have gone to the Super Bowl. I think Jacksonville got completely...
That 96 team in their second year of existence was super fun and interesting. Yep. 99 team. Mm-hmm. Those were also two really, really well-coached teams by Tom Coughlin that... I think they have more significance than the day where you get the first overall pick. But still, hope and promise of Trevor Lawrence makes things really, really compelling for this Jaguars team that, as we know, needs at least a general manager and potentially a head coach. Back to fantasy here. Dari Ogunbowale took over as sort of the guy in the Jaguars backfield, Matthew. 71 rushing yards, 3 catches for 7 yards, 10.8 fantasy points. If you're playing a Jaguars running back with James Robinson out next Sunday, you're playing Dari Ogunbowale, but I don't think there's a ton of upside here.
Yeah, I would agree with both statements. I was a little surprised because prior to this game, for the most part, Ogunbowale has been kind of a third down pass catching back. He's a smaller guy, so he's not the kind of guy that you'd expect to get a full workload the way he did. I thought that you'd see some Divine Ozigbo as well, but Ogunbowale was clearly the guy, and by the way, effective. Double-digit fantasy points here, and so, look, I think he should make your waiver wire column because there are people out there sifting through trying to find any kind of, usable piece, and he's going to be a usable piece next week. But, am I, super excited to be starting him? No.
I would agree on that. I just think, it's bad offense, right?
Yeah.
They're going to be, I think they're 14.5-point underdogs to the Colts.
Right.
Colts who need to win.
Colts need that game, right?
They do. So, anyways, low ceiling,
and it's,
but
right,
still,
it's in theory a tough defense.
If you need somebody to be in your lineup, that's certainly a consideration. Stefania, Philip Lindsay's season ended officially on Saturday.
Yeah, poor Philip Lindsay. He had that foot injury early on, then came back from that, seemed to be doing okay, and then all of a sudden ends up with a hip issue that he played through in week 15, but didn't look great, and then put on IR with the hip and the knee issue. And I'm told the foot, in fact, was also still bothering him. So certainly banged up near the end. The team obviously felt the right thing to do was to place him on injured reserve.
He's a restricted free agent this offseason. Will be interesting to see what tender the Broncos give him. Most likely they will tender him, as he's a very good player and a guy that has been awesome for them in his first 3 NFL seasons. We mentioned earlier, Stefania, but just to sort of give you the details of what happened, Matthew Stafford left the game for the Lions very early on Saturday and did not return.
Yeah, he sprained his right ankle, and it was just weird, moved awkwardly in the turf and then hopped off the field. And just knowing how Stafford is and everything that he plays through, sort of thought he'd go in, get the ankle looked at, get it taped up, and come back. And he did come back to the sideline with that ankle heavily taped on the exterior of his shoe, but never returned. So he was out after was injured on the first drive of the game and never came back. And if you consider that he was already playing through a rib cartilage injury that was fairly recent, he was still wearing a rib wrap. You could see it through his jersey. He also had a thumb injury that he was playing through. You have to wonder if it makes a lot of sense for them to bring him back this week. Matthew Stafford's also one of those players who will try to play through everything, and he's not going to beg off this game just because he has another injury. But last year, the team shut him down when he had the back fractures to protect him. I'm wondering if that might happen again this week.
I have zero information on this whatsoever. So I'm just using common logic here. I wonder if Matthew Stafford, if he sits out in week 17, does that mean he's played his final game with the Detroit Lions? A lot of people have speculated he could be a trade target this offseason. New head coach, new general manager coming to Detroit. We shall see. If so, it's been a remarkable run in Detroit for Matthew Stafford, but I'm not ready to close the book on it entirely. We have a long ways to go before we get to that
point. If he is available in any way, he will have a lot of suitors. And I'll tell you, I don't know what my Washington professional football team is going to do. I don't know if Alex Smith is going to come back for another year, but he'd look good in the burgundy and gold. I'll tell you that much.
He sure would, my friend. One more, Stefania, on the quarterback front. Jared Goff, who did not ever leave the game Rams yesterday.
It's but pretty remarkable.
Man, yeah, incredibly so.
I know. Say what you want about Jared Goff and his performance, but you cannot quit. Well, I know you're here in your boot, but Jared Goff dislocated his thumb and may have broken it and stayed in the game and continued to throw. And it's not even just the throwing. It's taking the snaps. I mean, if you talk to any quarterback who's had an injured thumb, they will tell you that taking those snaps, it's hard on the hand. So, The fact that he remained in the game was really impressive. It sounds like there will be further workup in the next day or two, and we shall see what happens. Some rumblings that if he needed surgery, it might be able to be postponed until after the season is concluded. We'll see. We'll hopefully have more after today.
Okay. And they play in week 17 against the Cardinals. It's possible, based off what happens early on in the day, that the Bears could lose to the Packers, Kyle's Packers, who have lots to play for still. If they win, they're automatically the number one seed in the NFC. The Bears lose. The Rams are already in the playoffs. So they do not necessarily need to win, but a big game on Sunday. We'll see whether Jared Goff is available. Sounds like it's going to require quite an effort for him to
be. It would, if Goff can't go, Goff's not going to play, right? I mean, it looks like Goff is not going to play.
Yeah,
I mean, your question is whether they need him to or not, but it would be John Wofford, former AAF superstar.
That's right.
John Wofford.
Wake Forest alum.
Mm-hmm.
Mina Kimes is a great enthusiast.
Okay.
She, of course,
did the preseason games for the Rams. So, yeah.
So, not this, obviously, there's no preseason games this year, but
right,
last year, a tough gig. She had to go to Hawaii for a game. I think she was okay on the way back.
She is a trooper like no one else is.
Even as a 49ers fan, I would do something with the Rams if it took me to Hawaii.
I know.
Just heads up, putting that out in the universe. If anyone, if you guys need preseason injury analysis to find you willing to go to Hawaii, no matter who the team is.
We need to do our next live show in Hawaii.
I am actually down for that. The good people of Hawaii deserve the 06010. There's no question about it. We should do a week of shows there.
Big week for
my dad. We should do a week of shows there like in July, August maybe.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Maybe like February.
Oh, yeah, actually.
Let's August. Do an August. We have like 3 good months here.
Like, how about next week? Can we do a week of live shows next week?
7 degrees.
Yeah, I mean,
book our August tickets.
Yeah, what are you going to do? But I mean, the point is, I think that's important to note, not just because of Jared Goff, but, you know, obviously, whether it's Cooper Kupp, my little Cooper Kupp, or Robert Woods, or potentially the running backs. And by the way, Daryl Henderson left this game yesterday as well.
He did. So Malcolm Brown, next man up here in that backfield, a waiver wire ad, because he's probably the only guy that will carry the ball next week.
I would think so.
You would trust from the Rams backfield, obviously. Cam Akers has a high ankle sprain, looks unlikely to play in week 17. So it could be Malcolm Brown show in week 17.
But if the Bears win and the Rams are like guaranteed a playoff spot, the Rams may say, all right, listen, we got no Jared Goff. Like, listen, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, you know, play a series or whatever. Come on down, sit down, and listen, Van Jefferson, get on out there or whatever.
Now, however, I do know, and I think, I don't know what time the Bucs game is, but the Bucs game also impacts them because the Rams have the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Bucs.
Okay. Bucs
is at one?
Yep.
Okay. So if the Bucs lose, which unlikely against the Falcons, but the Falcons gave the Chiefs all they could handle. Anyways, a lot at ahead this upcoming week that we'll get into more.
No, it's interesting because the NFL usually schedules game like they don't want situations like that where
there's nothing
where the Rams would be in a game where nothing to play for. So I'm surprised they haven't moved that game to 1 o'clock. But is the game in LA?
LA or Arizona.
Arizona, right? Yeah, of course. Yep. Right. Yeah.
Moving
West
along
Coast.
Here. Let's keep things
anyway,
going.
Right.
One more injury, Stefania. Sammy Watkins for the Chiefs, who actually was intercepted. That's not a joke yesterday.
Yeah.
Intercepted yesterday on one of those funky trick plays.
Yeah, and he only had 2 catches for 14 yards before he left the game with a calf injury. And if you think back to earlier in the season, he missed time with a hamstring injury. And then remember, he was about to come back and had a calf injury on top of it. So not great for Sammy Watkins.
A couple of Chiefs are sort of interesting this upcoming week. One is a result of the Sammy Watkins injury. Mecole Hardman, who had a career-high 9 targets in week 15, had 6 more yesterday. Would think he'd play more in week 17. Again, the Chiefs have nothing to play for week 17 other than the chance to go 15-1. They have the number one seed in the AFC all wrapped up. They have home field advantage throughout the playoffs. That much is determined. But we learned a lesson last year from the Ravens, who rested all their starters and then they got thumped in the first round of the playoffs. Maybe some teams will react to that and not go totally bench your starters in week 17. We shall see about the Chiefs and their approach. More information on that throughout the week as we get a sense from the Chiefs. Coming up is Studs and Duds. But first, do you want to rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. All right, so some of the players that were most popular on championship teams either showed out or failed to show up in week 16. And we were talking about who would go number one in a mock draft. I guess it would be a draft, not a mock draft, if we were to do it based off of what they did in 2020.
Right.
If we were to redo it today. And I guess I shouldn't have wavered because I think Travis Kelce is the fantasy football MVP, the most valuable player in fantasy this year. And there are a few factors that you got to consider. Overall points is certainly a part of it, but generally speaking, quarterbacks have the easiest avenue to score the most points in fantasy. Also, you got to consider positional value, though, right? I mean, there are a lot of quarterbacks that score a lot of points. So a quarterback that scores 20 points per game is not nearly as valuable as a tight end that scores close to 20 points a game, as he might be the only tight end to do that season. But how about Travis Kelce, who had, again, yesterday, another monster effort, 7 catches, 98 yards, and a touchdown, good for 22.8 fantasy points. He has set the single-season receiving record by a tight end, 1,416 receiving yards through just 15 games. He's got over 100 catches. Here's a complete list of tight ends with 100 catches in 2 separate years. Travis Kelce. That's the end of the list. All right, he's been doing this every single week. And you think about tight ends this year, and I'm not putting fault or blame on someone like George Kittle. He missed a ton of time. He had a very serious foot injury that he somehow came back from, by the way.
Yep.
Travis Kelce, relative to every other tight end, there's only one who I even feel good about starting every single week, almost start to finish this year. That's Darren Waller. And Darren Waller had this big sort of dip in the middle of the season. Every single week, you got the best of Travis Kelce. He had one week where it was a semi-dud. He had 3 catches for 31 yards. Other than that, at least 10 fantasy points in every single game. I am sitting there right in the waiver wire week to week trying to figure out who the Jaguars' backup tight end is to give you an option to somebody to pick up. Instead, with Travis Kelce, you got a guy, every single week you're playing him, he showed up when you needed the most in the playoffs, consistent start to finish. You had him 20th overall in terms of ADP, fantasy football MVP this year.
Yeah, hard to make an argument against that, no, by the way. Because, Kamara, I mean, Kamara, Dalvin Cook, Devontae Adams, Derrick Henry. But because tight end was such a brutal wasteland, with the exception of like Darren Waller, right? It was so brutal this year. And again, right, to your point, Kittle, Kittle got hurt. He had what is now known in the industry as Matthew Berry's injury. Obviously, as we have the same, Stefania broke it down, obviously, for everyone listening last week, we have the same injury.
I got that for you.
But
further this case, one more. How about this?
What's that?
This will help you.
Yeah, go ahead.
So Darren Waller, nice player, right?
And
I'm not saying that massive games don't count, right? But Darren Waller did have a couple of massive games down the stretch that really helped his value. Travis Kelce outscored him by 70 points. All right, but if you have Darren Waller, that's good, right?
Right.
So that's
That's the thing.
7-0. So that's basically 5 points a game better than Darren Waller, right? But more.
And Waller's number two.
Right.
Waller's the number two tight end. Like, he outscored the number two guy at his position by 70 points, and no other position can say that. I'm sorry?
How about the number three tight end? You know who it is?
The number three tight end, is it Tonyan?
It's T.J. Hockenson.
T.J. Hockenson.
He outscored him by 150 fantasy points this year. 10 points per game. You could give Travis Kelce literally a negative 10 buffer every week, and he would have the same number of fantasy points this season as T.J. Hockenson, who's a really good player.
Yeah. Tonyan's fourth, by the way.
Absurd. So I get it. There are great cases for Alvin Kamara and Dalvin Cook. I just think about the consistency, the reliability, the durability. Travis Kelce, man, I think he's the offensive player of the year in the NFL. I think he's a fantasy football MVP.
Yeah, look, I don't have any argument with that, especially because here's the thing. If you lost a running back, like whether it's Mike Davis or whatever, there are people that you could pick up and fill in. Like, honestly, you could make a case for James Robinson considering his production plus the fact you got him off the waiver wire for free.
He wasn't drafted, right?
In terms of value. But that's right. Just sifting through tight ends. Like, I had Hayden Hurst in the War Room League. Hayden Hurst was my starting tight end. Hayden Hurst was a good fantasy tight end this year and yet disappeared down the stretch. And then, now that I no longer need him, he had a couple good games here the last 2 games. But my point is, even somebody like Hayden Hurst, I had a, quote, good tight end, and he disappeared from time to time.
Yeah.
Jimmy Graham was a top 10 fantasy tight end this year.
No, it's absurd. Let's keep moving forward. I just had to get
but my, I'm with you. Travis Kelce.
On Travis Kelce. The guy is an absolute star. Mike Davis, the fifth most popular
player. How high are you taking Travis Kelce next year? That's going to be a great debate. He's a first rounder. Probably he's a first rounder, yeah.
Maybe 7 or 8. I mean, No signs of slowing down.
No signs of slowing down.
His quarterback's okay.
Even though he's, I believe he's 31, the fact that Kansas City signed him to a very lucrative 4-year contract before the season tells you that obviously the Chiefs believe there's some longevity there as well.
No question about it. Let's keep moving forward. Mike Davis, who, just going to tip my cap here. Not a great week yesterday.
Nope.
8.8 fantasy points. Mike Davis was Christian McCaffrey's backup coming in this year. He was cut in the middle of the season last year by the Chicago Bears. Mike Davis filling in for Christian McCaffrey. Like, how much more are you going to ask from a guy? 1,000 yards from scrimmage from Mike Davis on this year. Great story. Hats off to you, Mike Davis. I understand that if you played him yesterday, it might not have been enough to push you over the edge, but one of the best, if not the best, waiver wire adds once the season began, right? Like, I think James Robinson, I would say, like, post-week 1 waiver wire adds don't quite register in the same way as, like, week 2 and beyond, right? Some of those are based off injury, sample size, etc. Really good. It wasn't a great day yesterday, but a tip of the cap to you. The Rams defense was actually the 6th most popular player, if you want to call him a player, on fantasy championship rosters. 7 points yesterday, Matthew. Like, a really good defensive effort. Just a reminder of how hard it is to score points in fantasy on defense.
Yeah.
Let's get some of the players that are a player that was not necessarily great this week. That was Brandon Ayuk. A tough one here, Matthew. Really tough one. He had been remarkable for like 7 straight weeks, and he had 4.1 fantasy points on Saturday. But third string quarterback.
It saw a lot of Patrick Peterson in that one.
A lot of Patrick Peterson.
They made it
running the football incredibly.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Arizona made it a point to try to take Ayuk out of the game.
Yeah.
And to the Niners' credit, they were like, we're going to take what you're going to give us. You're going to let us run the ball? We're going to run the ball. And Jeff Wilson Jr., who was on the love list coming into this week, stepped up in a big way.
He sure did.
It's worth, I'm just going to jump in here because Nick Mullins got hurt, may have torn his ulnar collateral ligament. He might need Tommy John surgery. So I expect C.J. Beathard will be the quarterback this week if that impacts your thoughts on Brandon Ayuk. Obviously, they'll have a week to practice together. So
maybe some Josh Rosen. Dude, that'd be fun. They signed him up to Tampa Bay Buccaneers practice squad. Let's keep moving forward here, Matthew. Justin Herbert. What a season, man. What a season. Over 4,000 passing yards. He has more passing touchdowns as rookie than any player ever. 16.7 fantasy points wasn't his best effort. Sort of hit a wall fantasy wise down the stretch. Sort of
under 17 fantasy points in 4 of the last 5. Like since week 9, yeah. He's had 3 or more touchdown passes in only 1 game. That was week 11 against the Jets. But for 4 straight weeks, there, weeks 4 through 8, he had 3 or more touchdown passes. And I wonder this, Thirsty Kyle, maybe this is something you can look up. But like again, we talked about this. Does the addition of Austin Eckler coming back impact Herbert in the sense that, you know, they weren't throwing down the field nearly as much. They had more of a balanced attack now because they have a legit running game with Eckler there. They can dump off the ball. Like, I just wonder if that has something to do with it. Or did the defense, like, that's something to sort of really look at. And I don't know that we really did a great deep dive on it, you know, because the season you're just going. And so, but that's something to look at this offseason is what happened with Justin Herbert. Like, did their defense get better? They were suddenly not in as many shootouts. Did the league catch up to him a little bit? Was the addition of Eckler combination thereof?
No Keenan Allen yesterday. Nope. Certainly didn't.
Yes.
Help.
Yeah. That obviously hurts. And no Keenan Allen last week, really. I mean, I know he was active, but against the Raiders, he was out there limping around.
I'm betting on Justin Herbert being special versus the alternative, obviously.
1,000%.
Just a little bit of a mini slump. That's all. Like, he probably carried a lot of people to the playoffs, though, right? He may not have won your championship, but he probably carried you to the playoffs. Moving forward here, Wayne Gallman, 21st most popular player, 6th most popular running back. Not a great day yesterday, 7.3 fantasy points. Not the kind of guy that carried you there, not the kind of guy that was going to win it as well. Let's look at some players who had sort of a new role yesterday, sort of surprisingly, and what it means. Darrell Williams for the Kansas City Chiefs. We all thought that it could be Le'Veon Bell would play a bunch yesterday. Nope, Darrell Williams, who had 47 total snaps to 19 for Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell, we were talking about this in the war room yesterday. Ooh, boy. Le'Veon Bell, man. Like, if you didn't know it was Le'Veon Bell, if he didn't have his jersey on the back, like, if you saw him, you'd be like, what would you think if you saw him playing? You didn't know who it was.
Who's that slow guy on the Chiefs?
I know, it's crazy, right? It's like they are littered with players that run like 4.3 40s, and then they have Le'Veon Bell. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's I don't know if it hurts him by the fact that he's on the same team as guys like Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman, but man, he just looks slow. And you're like, what happened to the guy that was so awesome in Pittsburgh? Maybe it wasn't all the Jets. Yeah, like he just looks done. And what's interesting to me is, I mean, by the way, Le'Veon Bell was on the hate list coming into this week. If you started Le'Veon Bell, that's on you. But I will say this. This is the interesting question for me, Field Yates.
Okay.
We know Clyde Edwards-Helaire is out until the playoffs, at least. Yeah. And we don't know when he's going to be coming back. Okay. Well, no. Here's my question to you. The Chiefs have nothing to play for in Week 17. They've clinched the number one. Are they going to who do you think the Chiefs think is more valuable to their efforts? My point is, there's a chance that Le'Veon Bell gets a start next week because they don't view him as valuable. That's my question.
Yeah, I'm going to, for now, treat it as Darrell Williams playing and playing more than Le'Veon Bell because
I don't know, man.
Treating it that way right now. Okay. Again, we'll get more information later in the week potentially, but we shall see.
I'll just say that I know in Kansas City they like Darrell Williams a lot. They trust him in pass pro. Like they consider him just kind of a pro's pro. And does he have explosive breakaway speed? He does not, but he will get you what's blocked. He won't blow an assignment. Like he's solid, and they like him down to the goal line as well. I just don't know if they feel that way about Le'Veon Bell. I honestly just have no idea. And so I think there is a scenario where Le'Veon Bell gets the majority of work next week because they feel like they need Darrell Williams in the playoffs.
All right, so
I'm just saying.
Yeah, no. It's not crazy, right? A.J. Dillon last night for the Packers. Ooh. Looked like the guy, and you know, for those that may not know, Chapin, Boston College graduate, we go to a ton of BC football games. Loved watching A.J. Dillon play. Like, I was certain the guy was going to be a really good NFL player. Maybe that's probably just like a proximity thing. Like, you see him all the time, you're like, this guy's going to be a star. He looked awesome last night, though.
Yeah.
124 yards, 2 touchdowns, caught a pass, 25.9 fantasy points, played 36 snaps to Aaron Jones, 24.
I think Aaron Jones!
This might be less about A.J. Dillon and more about Aaron Jones' value. Because, like, I'd have a hard time making the case. They have stuff to play for next week. Like, I'm still going to rank Aaron Jones higher than A.J. Dillon, right? Like, I'm not going to rank A.J. Dillon inside my top 20 for running backs next week. But how far does Aaron Jones need to slide in my rankings based off of the fact that he played 12 fewer snaps than, like, I know at one point, maybe Stefani, did you catch this? At one point, the trainers were working on Aaron Jones on the sideline a little bit. Is there anything that we learned there, or is that?
I didn't take anything massively away from that.
Okay.
At least not yet.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't
stay
said
tuned.
Anything.
Right.
So we'll keep an eye on it. But other than that, like, I don't have a reason why Aaron Jones' timeshare went down. And this was without Jamal Williams, too.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is, honestly, and I forget who tweeted this, so I apologize to whoever it was, but I saw somebody tweet this that I follow on Twitter saying something like, A.J. Dillon was drafted for this game. And it was, you know, it's a joke, obviously, but the idea is like, listen, very cold weather game, physical game. And so, you know, A.J. Dillon, who has the biggest thighs this size of Saquon Barkley, like, right. I mean, he's just like, he's a massive human being. And I think it was just about the physicality. He was running well. And you think about sort of the weather and the way the game went, which is that the Packers got out to a big lead. You know, it took the Titans a while to sort of get their offense going. And so maybe just they wanted to use him in that way. Look, when you get down in the goal line, and make no mistake, over the past, you know, basically couple of years now, Aaron Jones has been one of the most effective goal line runners in the NFL. He has been. Like, he's been a scoring machine. But traditional football guys like A.J. Dillon, I mean, that's one of the things he was known for in college, was scoring touchdowns. Like, he is it's an easy comparison, but Derrick Henry-ish, right? I mean, just like a big bruising back that you do not want to see in the fourth quarter. I think your call is absolutely right, Field, in that it's probably more about dinging Aaron Jones's value because, again, he's already had some loss in touchdown equity, and now A.J. Dillon, you know, vultured two yesterday or took two that could have gone to Jones, and certainly wouldn't expect to maybe see that next week as well if Jamal Williams can't go. Probably if Jamal Williams is out, Dillon's like he's a touchdown-dependent flex play, but wouldn't surprise me if he gets it in a game in which the Packers do need to win and we'll be playing all out.
I just want to mention this really quickly. It's sort of an interesting story. I just saw this news that just broke from Shefty and others who were following along with Ron Rivera's press conference. Mm-hmm. It says that Taylor Heinicke will start. Alex Smith can't go. Stefania, I'll turn this to you. What are the chances you think we see Alex Smith on Sunday in that win and go to the playoffs game for the Washington football team?
I don't think we really know. This is uncharted territory, really. This is a guy whose calf is compromised by definition based on the injury that he had previously and now has a muscle strain. So I think every day is an evaluation. You saw that based on how late in the week it was before Washington made the decision about Alex for week 16. And I would imagine that it's going to likely play out the same way. He had a full practice on Friday, if you recall, and then Saturday was sore, and they basically came to the conclusion that it would not be smart to play him. So I could see this coming down to the wire again. I imagine that they'll have Taylor Heinicke get more reps in practice in case he needs to go, but it could be the end of the week before we know.
Matthew, your thoughts on the matter?
First off, I think it's the right decision by Coach Rivera.
Okay.
I don't think it's a shocking decision. It shouldn't be. I'm surprised, I guess because of depth reasons, but Dwayne Haskins has played, barring some sort of, on-field emergency, Dwayne Haskins has played his last snap for the Washington football team and potentially his last snap in the NFL. I don't know a team that is going to, given all, there's off-field drama with Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah.
And his on-field performance hasn't been nearly good enough to put up with the off-field drama. It's an awful story, honestly, because I get it. This is something I tweeted out. I get it because, last year Washington was a dysfunctional franchise and Dwayne Haskins came into a system coached by Jay Gruden, and then they're going to one by Bill Callahan, and it's different systems, and it's a bad offensive line. He doesn't really have a lot of weapons outside of Terry McLaurin, so I get it, right? But then he comes in, and Scott Turner is a good offensive coordinator. It's a good offensive system because we've seen other quarterbacks move the ball in it, right? And so the fact that coming into this year, knowing that he had an opportunity here and that while there was a lot of turmoil, and rightfully so, in the Washington front office and what happened off the field with that franchise, Coach Rivera and his staff have brought, and Jason Wright, the president, have brought a sense of professionalism and direction to this franchise. And so for Dwayne Haskins to do the dumb stuff he's been doing off the field and then to come onto the field and play that horribly, miss open wide receivers, be seconds late with decision-making, be careless with the ball. It's frustrating because this is a guy that threw 50 touchdowns at Ohio State. This guy was a first-round pick, and when Washington took him in the first round, there weren't a lot of people that were like, wow, what are you doing?
There were good. There were some people that studied him that were like, oh, boy.
There were definitely questions about Haskins, but I don't think anyone thought he would drop out of the first round.
Yeah.
I mean, right? And so, whatever. And the fact is...
I feel you.
It's very, very frustrating because Washington has a lot now actually going for it. They legit have a defense. They've found some playmakers on offense. Logan Thomas has been a revelation this year. J.D. McKissick has been a nice piece this year for them. They're still legit playmakers away from having a real offense, but... there's some pieces there. Antonio Gibson's been a legit find.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, and we need a quarterback, and all due respect to Alex Smith, because I love Alex. Alex isn't, who knows how much longer Alex has in the league. His story's been remarkable. So it's just frustrating. But I am, as a Washington fan, I am so done with Dwayne Haskins. I can forgive on-field poor play. But given that, along with everything else that comes with Haskins, it's absolutely the right decision. The fact that Taylor Heinicke, a walk-on, practice squad guy, had to replace a first-round pick in a game with playoff implications, and it was the right decision is mind-boggling to me. The only argument is, should they have brought Heinicke in sooner? And I think they should have. I think they should have started the second half with Taylor Heinicke. It's absolutely the right decision by Coach Rivera. If Alex can't go, got to go with Taylor Heinicke, who got them a touchdown and honestly should have gotten them a second one. Like, they got some bad calls in that game against Carolina. That was a ticky-tack holding call that took away the touchdown from Logan Thomas. Like, they got some bad calls, Field Yates.
All right, let's move forward here and get back on track.
I'm not ready to move forward.
Okay, well, you could take off the
I mean,
of the
like, how long have you been working with me? Like, moving forward is not what I do.
Well, let's move forward in spite of you then. Tony Fine. Pollard yesterday had just yes. 3 fantasy points. We thought, some thought, hey, you know, Zeke, even if he plays, Tony Pollard still has, you know, some value and a floor. Exception, not the rule last week. So if you're playing Tony Pollard with Ezekiel Elliott still on the field and in the game, good luck. It's probably not going to work out for you. Stefania, we mentioned this.
I was surprised at the lack of Pollard. Zeke looked good.
Zeke ran well.
Zeke ran well. But that was huge because what we kept talking about yesterday in Fantasy Football Now was Zeke hadn't looked like Zeke. He wasn't running like Zeke. And yesterday, for the first time in many, many weeks, I saw the guy running the way he used to. And that was the difference, unfortunately, for Pollard and people who played him.
Stefania, we mentioned this earlier, but just if you have any extra insight, Daryl Henderson left the game for the Rams. Do you have any sense on what he's dealing with right now?
Well, it was a left ankle injury is all we've been told so far. And I, you know, again, you read tea leaves, right? So he was called doubtful to return. And just, you know, when you make quick decisions like that, that sounds like a player's not coming back. It's a bit of a reflection of the severity of the injury. You know, minor ankle sprain, they might let you come back in, but clearly they knew he was going to stay out, and they were already down Cam Akers with the high ankle sprain that he's dealing with. So stay tuned during the week, but this could be a week without two of their top 3 running backs.
Yeah, it would seem that Malcolm Brown would be the next man up, as we discussed earlier on. We're going to discuss whether it was worth pivoting off of players in just a moment, but first, you're hanging out with some friends and putting back a few drinks. A few becomes a few too many. As the evening comes to an end and people start to head out, you think of calling for a ride. Nah, you live nearby. You can make it home okay. It's no big deal. What are the odds you'll get pulled over anyway? And even so, what's the worst that could happen? Your insurance goes up, you lose your license, you lose your job, you total your car, you kill someone. Everyone knows about the risks of driving drunk. The results are tragic and often deadly. However, it still doesn't stop everyone from getting behind the wheel while under the influence. That's why police officers are out there right now looking for impaired drivers on our roads to save lives. So if you think you're okay to drive after a few drinks, think again. Play it safe and plan ahead to get a ride. It only takes one mistake to change your life or someone else's life forever. Drive sober or get pulled over. All right, so some of the players that you may have pivoted from late in the season, was it worth it? How about, for example, Russell Wilson, who yesterday finished with 19.9 fantasy points, but just 225 passing yards, 1 touchdown, 9 rushing yards, and the rushing touchdown, which saved his day, Matthew. I kind of think if you did pivot from Russ late in the season, you might have been okay. I don't, you know, obviously it depends on who you pivoted to.
Sure.
But Russ was not himself in terms of fantasy value during the last 5 games of the season.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, Russ was not cooking. What's the opposite of cooking? Russ was ordering out. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. I mean, right.
Russ was Grubhubbing.
Yeah, exactly.
Let Russ Grubhub.
Yeah. Right. Let him DoorDash. I don't know, man. Like, oh, boy. It depends on who it was worth it. Shocking to me. You know, I mean, some of it was matchup dependent. Like, he had a tough game against the Rams, obviously, once again, but. Yeah, Russell Wilson. What a weird season for Russell Wilson, who usually starts slow and ends strong, and this year was the opposite.
If you pivoted off of Tyler Lockett, it definitely worked out. He had 3 catches for 44 yards yesterday, under 12.5 fantasy points in 5 straight games, and 8 of 9 since week 6. The only exception was week 7 when he had 53 fantasy points against Arizona. So, yeah, the answer is if you pivoted, you were smart.
Under 12.5 fantasy points now in 5 straight games and 8 of 9 since that week 7 explosion, as you mentioned, right? You know, 1 touchdown his past 9 games, 3 games with more than 70 receiving yards. I mean, just, you know, like, yeah, yeah. Like, bad.
Yeah. One more here. Chase Claypool. If you pivoted off of him, it worked out well, Matthew. Like, you know what was a good reminder of? It's just that, like, when something is too good to be true in fantasy football, it's okay to not, like, ride the wave that everybody else is riding, right? So at some point, Chase Claypool is going to come back down to earth, right? At some point.
Sure.
And he did, and he came back in a massive way.
He did. I mean, I don't know how much of it was his fault, too, because let's face it, like, that Steelers offense cratered.
Totally.
Ben looked awful for a stretch there, actually up until the second half of yesterday's game.
Yep.
He looked awful.
Yeah.
Right? So, but, you know, to your point, five straight games without a touchdown, four straight with under double-digit fantasy points, seven straight games under 60 receiving yards. His fantasy value was always kind of, you know, propped up by a crazy touchdown rate that we expected to regress. But here's the thing. Like, Chase Claypool can play.
Yeah.
Like, he can, like, just to the eye test, to, like, just, is that kid a football player? That kid's a football player. So it's just, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a little bit of a fluke invariance, also bad quarterback play or inconsistent quarterback play, and a lot of mouths to feed there in Pittsburgh as well.
And Juju is a free agent after this season.
Right.
We'll see whether or not he sticks around in Pittsburgh or not, but certainly the value for Chase Claypool will only continue to go up in 2021 and beyond. Let's have a quick chat about Monday Night Football. Can Josh Allen win you your title, Matthew? If you had Alvin Kamara, are you expecting a big night tonight from Josh Allen?
I hope so. Yeah. I'm down. So in the Agbo Superhero League,
okay,
the Agbo Superhero League, I'm playing Chris Evans. I'm playing Captain America.
Heard of him. Once or
have you? Have you? Okay, so I'm playing him for the third place game because DeAndre Swift and Eric Ebron. You guys heard that whole rant. So going into tonight, I am down 29 points.
Okay.
To Chris Evans. Chris Carson got me nothing, you know, and he had Mike Evans. Chris Evans had Mike Evans. So there you go. So he's done, and I'm down 29 points, but I have Josh Allen.
There you go.
So, and here's what's at stake, Josh Allen, Buffalo Bills, and Patriots defense, by the way. Here's what's at stake. If I win this game, I win third place in the Agbo Superhero League presented by FanDuel, and I will win an additional $60,000
nice
for the V Foundation for Cancer Research.
Okay.
If I lose the game and I'll finish fourth in the league, it means an additional $30,000.
Okay.
So I've already won $50,000 for cancer research. So it's the difference between me handing a check to the V Foundation for $80,000 or $110,000. So just I'm just out there, you know, Josh Allen, Patriots defense. If you're like me and you hate cancer and you want to join the fight against cancer and help the Jimmy V Foundation for Cancer Research defeat cancer, we need Josh Allen to get 30 fantasy points tonight. Something to root for out there. Let's go.
There you have it. I have a rule. I don't root for you in fantasy. I'll root for you tonight. Let's get 30 fantasy points, Josh Allen. How about Damian Harris, though, Stefania? I know he missed the last time the Patriots played. Do you expect him to be back here for Monday night?
I do not. And it's interesting. The running backs coach, Ivan Fears, said this on Saturday, and I think it's kind of telling if you read between the lines. He said, most of the first part of the year, you had either Sony Michel or Damian. They were playing musical chairs. One guy was hurt, one guy was playing. That seems to be where we are right now. So I think Damian Harris is likely to miss this game.
Well, Sony Michel would then step up, probably just like a touchdown-dependent desperation play. Like, I'm not expecting more than like 10 or 12 fantasy points from Sony Michel tonight. The Patriots are going to fight till the very end because they're the Patriots. That's part of their DNA. But I do expect the Bills to come out on top of this game. Stephon Diggs likely in store for yet another big night because he's Stephon Diggs, and that's what he's been doing all year.
And by the way, that would help Josh Allen get to 30 points. So let's go, Stephon Diggs. I just wish they were playing anyone but the Patriots, because the Patriots will play.
Yeah, they will certainly compete to the very end. All right, so tomorrow's show, we're going to do a little bit of waiver wire talk, recap Monday Night Football, all the latest news, just ahead of what we have ahead this week. Thursday, we'll have a podcast as well. So we have Monday, Tuesday, Thursday of this week. Try to get you as ready as we can for Week 17. And of course, Fantasy Football Now, Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern time.
There'll be new episodes of The Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus first thing later tonight, actually. I think either later tonight or first thing tomorrow morning, and Wednesday afternoon as well, getting you ready for Week 17. No love-hate column this week, but our rankings will be there as well. So the love-hate column is done for the year, but I'll still be doing my rankings. Obviously, I'm here on the podcast tomorrow, Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus, and as Field mentioned, Fantasy Football Now, and of course, all of us will be active on social media. He's at Field Yates on Twitter and Instagram. She's at Stefania underscore ESPN on Twitter and at Stefania ESPN on the gram. I am at Matthew Berry TMR on all forms of social media, including TikTok, except the Fantasy Life app. I am merely at Matthew Berry on the Fantasy Life app. He's at Kyle Soppy ESPN on the Twitter. And I think that's about it.
That covers it all. Again, we are back on Tuesday with waivers, Monday Night Football, and much more. For Matthew, Stefania, and Kyle, I'm Field. Talk to you tomorrow.
Go, Josh Allen. Peace out.